A lot of people are tired of hearing about the new normal, but what about the old normal? Some people have anxiety as their old normal. That has to change. That's why I developed a safe empowerment system for social and generalized anxiety over at quietbegins.com. As long as we're in this, quote, new normal, it's going to stay 50% off. Use the code BRAIN50 during checkout. Quietbegins.com.
Life presents the toughest challenges. Every day you are faced with decisions that test your ability to express who you really want to be in this world. We're told to keep saying affirmations and keep thinking positively, but what do you do when that stuff doesn't work? Welcome to the Overwhelmed Brain, where you'll learn to make decisions that are right for you so that you can create the life you want now.
Welcome to The Overwhelmed Brain. My name is Paul Coliani, and I am here to help you increase your emotional intelligence so that you can avoid dysfunction, handle toxic situations with grace and ease, and show up as your authentic self. Everything I talk about on this show is my personal opinion and is meant for informational and educational purposes only. Always consult a medical or psychological professional before making any changes that could affect your physical or mental health. Got to get that disclaimer going in there, because stuff I talk about on this show can be quite deep. It can be quite psychological as far as how it impacts you and what you do with the information that we talk about here. It affects you, and it affects other people too, because what I've learned is that as you develop, for example, personal boundaries, the people that are used to you being a certain way will either support you or be upset that you won't be the person you've always been around them. Because this is what happens when we start developing our personal boundaries and we start honoring our personal boundaries, is that the people that preferred us to be a pushover, or they preferred us to do what they wanted us to do and not what we wanted ourselves to do, they will be unhappy that we are now honoring ourselves. What's going to happen, typically, is that the people that love you and support you and want you to be happy no matter what, they're going to be the ones that are okay with you honoring yourself. Because if you're happy, they're happy. I think that's what a healthy relationship is. If you're happy, I'm happy. The people that will be frightened of your changes because you are going through this transformation are going to say things like, "You've changed. What's wrong?" They're going to say things that are unsupportive because they're not going to like that the control they had or the level of superiority or authority over you that they had or the ability to just get you to do what they want you to do is going to disappear, and they're not going to be able to figure out what to do without being able to control you. And so, you know, I'm labeling an extreme here. It may not be that extreme, but for some people it will be. Some people will be worse. Because as soon as you start honoring yourself around people that depended on you not honoring yourself and always giving in and always letting them, quote, win or tell you what to do, and you do it because you feel like you have to, or there's a fear in there because if you don't, something bad will happen. But when you start honoring yourself, suddenly the people like that, that don't want you to honor yourself, will not be happy. And what they'll do is try to make you feel bad. They'll try to make you think that you're doing something wrong. I want you to be aware that when you honor yourself, when you actually have boundaries that you don't let other people violate, that is one of the healthiest things you can do for yourself. That is one of the major steps toward happiness. That is one of the major steps toward fulfillment and satisfaction in life. You walk around with boundaries which tell people what you will and won't accept for behavior. And when you do that, people's behavior, if they are already used to violating your boundaries, or if you had no boundaries and they were just kind of a jerk to you, or even if they weren't a jerk, if they were just able to get whatever they wanted from you because you were a people pleaser or you just didn't want confrontation, so you never spoke up for yourself, whatever it is, they're not going to be happy that you now have structure. They're not going to be happy that you are now self-disciplined. They won't be happy that you are doing what you want to do for you instead of doing what they want you to do for them. And like I said, some people aren't necessarily doing it on purpose. I spent the majority of my life being a yes person, meaning I would say yes to other people and no to myself. If somebody wanted me to work the weekend and I had plans, but I didn't want to confront my boss or say no to him or her, then I would say yes and just scratch my plans. And that's how I lived my life for a good number of years, at least into my 30s. And then I decided that it was time to take a chance. It was time to take a chance on honoring myself. And that meant when I really wanted to say no, I said it. And that chance was the risk of confrontation and the risk of the consequences of honoring myself. When it comes to honoring yourself, you may feel like you have to take a risk. You may feel like if you honor yourself in a particular moment, that there are going to be severe consequences. Well, you get to a point where you get so drained out and so burnt out with your relationships because you are not honoring yourself. You are not being self-loving and self-compassionate, but you are being compassionate and loving to everyone else because you're honoring them and doing what they want. But what ends up happening is that you get to a burnout point, and that burnout point is the moment that you might want to make a different decision and take a different step in your life. I'm not saying this happens to everybody, but for me, I reached the burnout point. I was getting kind of sick of honoring everyone else but myself. And that sickness came in the form of an emotional drain. I felt so drained so often that I just wasn't happy. And this is a good thing to experience. If you are, I mean, not the emotional drain, but if you're experiencing an emotional drain because you either don't have personal boundaries or you're not honoring your personal boundaries, then it is likely that you'll get to a point where you feel so drained that you'll reach a breakdown, which is a threshold to a new way of being. A breakdown can be a threshold to a new way of living your life. And if you have any problem honoring yourself with anyone because there's a risk involved, it's important to balance the risk against the rest of your life. I mean, this is my personal opinion. I look at the risk as either I'm staying who I am or I'm going to be this new person. What does that mean? That means that when something comes along, that there's an opportunity to express myself, to honor myself, to show someone what is acceptable behavior and what isn't, then I weigh the risk. And weighing the risk might be, if I honor myself in this moment, it could end this relationship, it could get me fired, it could get me yelled at, it could get me a punch in the face. If I honor my boundaries in this moment, honoring your boundaries doesn't mean you be a jerk. It just means you let someone know what's acceptable and what's not. So if I say to someone, hey, you know, I don't really like that behavior, could you please stop it? And they punch me in the face, it wasn't something that I initiated. It was something that we can all do for ourselves and we should be able to all do for ourselves, which is express how we want to be treated. So when you express how you want to be treated and someone goes overboard and overreacts, that is on them. That is their issue, their inability to be able to honor you, honoring yourself. So this is why you have to evaluate the situation before you honor yourself, because there is a risk, and the risk could be excessive. At the same time, how much life are you willing to give up in order to please other people and allow them to honor your dishonoring of yourself? Because that's how I look at this. when I come into a situation where somebody is disrespecting me or someone is putting me down or someone is putting me in a situation that is uncomfortable, I have an opportunity to honor myself in that moment and say something or do something even. I could say, you know, please don't do that. I don't like that. I can say that. It could be something as simple as that. Please don't do that. I don't like that. And that empowers them to make the next choice. I mean, this is what I love about honoring yourself, is that you can empower people to make the right choice, the next best decision for both of you. Because what you're doing is you're not overreacting to whatever they're doing. You're actually letting them know how they can show up that is pleasing to you, or at least not offensive. You are giving them the opportunity to show up that way so that they will be pleasant to be around. And it also gives them the ability to give you the gift of treating you the way you want to be treated. How could anyone not like that? If somebody you love came up to you and said, hey, this is how I like to be treated, would that not be empowering to them and also giving them the ability to create a deeper connection with you? That is empowering. That is a gift that gives them the opportunity to show up as amazing in your life. That gives them knowledge that they may not have had before. It gives them so much, and they have so much to work with, and they have that wonderful opportunity to show up the way that you prefer to be treated, that it should feel good to them, because if they know how you want to be treated, it should make them feel good knowing that they're doing that for you. It's sort of like the conversations we have in the bedroom. Everyone, I hope, has these conversations. If you don't, I think you need to. I think you need to practice this and work on it. Bedroom conversations should be about sharing what works, what feels good, what you want. And if you can do that with somebody who does the same thing, it is a wonderful gift to both of you. Bedroom talk may not make it into regular talk with friends and things like that, but it's kind of the same idea. It's a gift. I think it's a gift to honor your personal boundaries and tell people what you will and won't accept in your life, which empowers them to be able to show up that way, which makes them shine even more in your eyes. You see them in a different light because now they're showing up in a way that makes you happy, that makes you look at them with admiration and respect because they actually care about your happiness and comfort and safety. They actually care about that stuff. This is why I look at personal boundaries and honoring your personal boundaries as a wonderful gift that you can give to everyone. It's not just a personal gift. It's a gift to others. It's telling them what they don't know until you tell them. Have you ever been in a relationship where somebody didn't tell you what they wanted? It's very difficult. I mean, I've been there before where you're with someone and you really want to make them happy, yet they say everything's fine. No, you're doing everything fine. There's nothing wrong. Yet you're growing distant or they're growing unhappy because you're supposed to figure it out. You're supposed to mind read or something and you can't figure it out. Or vice versa, the same with you. You don't express what you want. Maybe there's a fear. Maybe that fear of confrontation is in there. The fear of rejection kicks in. The fear that they'll see you as a bad person kicks in because you're actually saying what you want in your life. I think when it comes to personal boundaries, it's important to define those in you and let other people know what they are if they violate them. You don't have to go around with a tattoo on your forehead telling people what your boundaries are. You express them when needed. Because hopefully most people in your life honor you honoring yourself anyway. Hopefully most people are happy that you have boundaries. You have boundaries? That's great. That means that you know what you want in life. You know how you want to be treated and you won't take any disrespect. I think that's fantastic because I love you and I don't want you to be disrespected. I love you and I don't want you to be mistreated at all. And if someone's behaving badly around you and it's hurting you in some way and you tell them it's hurting you and they don't stop, then you have every right to honor your boundaries and tell them to stop, or there is accountability. And that accountability may be, if you don't stop, I'm going to leave. Or if you don't stop, I'm going to take away something you love. I don't know. It depends on the situation, of course. But you get the idea. You just want to walk tall in your own skin, feel good knowing that if somebody violates your boundaries, you can say, hey, look, you need to back off because that's against my boundaries. I mean, I've got all kinds of stories I've shared on the show before, but one that really stands out, it's one of the times that I decided that I was going to stand up for myself in front of a complete stranger, even at the risk that it could cause probably bad blood between us. I mean, that's probably the wrong term. I mean, even though I realized he could have gotten annoyed or upset or even violent. So I had no idea what his reaction would be, but it was at an airport. I was at a car rental counter and I was filling out some paperwork. I was talking to the rep behind the counter and this guy was behind me. And at first he was kind of close, but then a few minutes later, as I was filling out my paperwork, he wasn't even being waited on yet. But he snuck up right behind me. I felt like his head was like right on my shoulder. It was very uncomfortable. You know what I mean? When somebody gets in your personal space, you just don't want them near you. You don't know what their intentions are. You don't know them. You don't feel safe. You don't trust them because you have no idea what they're going to do. But he was right there. And then he started talking to the rep pretty much over my shoulder. And I know that he was probably oblivious to his proximity to me. He was just, whatever, in a hurry. He needed to take care of something. He didn't want to wait in line. And he was trying to talk over my shoulder to this rep. And here I am filling out this paperwork. And I know that he could probably see what I was writing. So I stopped and I turned around and I looked at him and I said, and this was hard to do because this is one of the first times I honored myself. I said, would you mind taking a step back because you're in my personal space and it's very uncomfortable. He was caught off guard like a deer in the headlights. He's like, what? And he backed off and he didn't say anything. And I went back to what I was writing. I was filling out some form and that was it. And there was nothing that I expected to happen. I thought he might yell at me. Who knows? He could have shoved me. He could have pushed me. I mean, when we have these fears that come up, we usually exaggerate them to the point that we justify not doing something that maybe we should do. So I was sort of starting to justify in my head not to honor myself in that moment and just move aside, you know, kind of give him some room. But at the same time, it was my turn, damn it. It was me in front of the line and I was talking to the rep. He had to wait his turn. But yeah, I get it. We're in a hurry and we have to move things along, but it was still my turn and he definitely was in my personal space and I didn't like it. So at that moment, I evaluated the risk versus the reward. I mean, if we want to call it that, the reward was, hey, I'm going to honor myself and that's going to reinforce who I am. It's going to reinforce my very being. Because if you don't know who you are, this is how you do it. I mean, that may be very vague what I just said, but there are people that don't really know who they are. They don't really have much structure in their life. If you don't necessarily know who you are, or you really don't know who you are, or you don't have a lot of structure in your life, honoring your personal boundaries is the way to make who you are. It is the way to create who you are. It is the way to build structure in your life because these are the walls that we create. Some walls have doors and some don't. And the ones that don't, we don't let anybody through. We make those thicker than the other walls. But the walls with doors, yeah, we let some people through. Some people can get through and some people that say or do the right thing can get through and that's fine. But this is how we build our foundation. Like with personal boundaries, I like to think of our personal boundaries as castle walls. We're building our castle walls to protect ourselves and protect what's inside. And what's inside is who we are. It is what we are. It is our safety, our foundation. Everything that grounds us and makes us feel comfortable in our own skin. This is what defining boundaries does. So if you ever have a question about who you are and you're not sure how to live your life or you have trouble making decisions. I mean, this is a foundation for a lot of issues in our lives, is the ability to create those boundaries and then enforce those boundaries and honor them when you need to, like the time I'm talking about. So when this gentleman that was very close to me stepped back, he didn't say a word. He honored my boundaries. I actually gained more respect for him. I didn't really like him because he was still the kind of person that does that, but at the same time, I realized he could have been oblivious. So I didn't have to like him. He was a stranger. It didn't matter. But I did develop a little respect for him because he listened to me. Not that everyone has to listen to me and do what I say, but when there's a violation of a personal boundary, it goes a long way when somebody listens to you and does what you want them to do. It allows you to see their humanity, and they are honoring you, honoring yourself. They may not like it, but if they honor you, they honor your wishes, then that does raise the level of respect. And so him and I could have been great friends. We could have had coffee together. We could have sat down and ordered a drink and had a great talk and then went our separate ways. And we could have been friends. Who knows? Because he listened. He respected my boundaries after I told him what they were. But before that, he didn't know what they were. He came right up behind me. And again, probably oblivious, but he didn't realize I had a boundary of personal space. Maybe he doesn't. There are people that walk around whose boundaries are different than ours. If he has no personal space boundaries, you know, his family could have been brought up that way. His brothers and sisters, mom and dad, they all hang around in close proximity. They get in each other's faces. Who knows? But for me, I was not comfortable with that. And a lot of people aren't. So once I told him, he respected it. And that's great. It surprised him. Maybe people aren't used to doing that. Maybe people are used to just stepping away from him. Or maybe this was the first time he ever did it. Who knows? Doesn't matter. But the point is, in that moment, I was able to evaluate it and accept that the reward of honoring myself was worth the risk. And I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older. You know, I'm 50 now. And during that time, I was in my late 30s or early 40s, and I was just starting to honor my boundaries. But I've noticed when I get older, I am more willing to speak up for myself because I don't want any more of life to go by with me being submissive. I don't. I mean, that's probably the best way to put it. I don't want to be this meek, submissive person that allows other people to use me as a doormat. So as I get older, I feel like maybe that is helpful to realize that life is pretty darn short. And even when you're in your 20s or 30s, how much life do we have left to allow other people to use us as doormats or not honor us honoring ourselves? I don't see life as very long at all. I mean, look where we are today. There are people that I know that have died, at least three people have died in the last 3 months. One of them was from COVID. And so we see these people in our lives that suddenly they're not there anymore. We think about our own mortality. How long are we going to live and allow other people to treat us the way they treat us? And hopefully you're being treated okay. And if you're not, it might be time to weigh the risk and the reward and see which one you'd rather live with. Personally, most of the time, I'd rather stand up for myself, not be disrespected, and request to be treated a certain way and risk a punch in the face. I mean, I don't want it. I definitely don't want a punch in the face. But even if I got it, I still stood in my integrity. I still stood as the person I wanted to be. And every time I stand in my integrity and I stand up for myself, I am either reinforcing my boundaries or reinforcing my character or building more character or building new boundaries. No matter what, it's all in the right direction. I'm either reinforcing all those things or I'm allowing them to disintegrate little by little. With each event that happens that I choose not to honor myself or I choose to be that doormat. And, you know, these are extremes, I know. And I like to pick my battles wisely. I'm not going to stand up to someone I know is very violent, and I'm not going to demand that they treat me with respect or else. I'm not stupid. I'm just going to get away from that scenario. If I'm in that situation with somebody like that, then I probably shouldn't be in that situation with somebody like that. And I should probably think differently in that moment and preserve myself. I might need to consider flight over fight. I might need to do something else. Because honoring your boundaries isn't about unwavering stubbornness about what you believe is right and wrong. It's about evaluating each situation and making sure that you're honoring yourself more so that you are aligning as the worthy person you are. I mean, you have to see yourself as worthy. In order for this to work, you have to see yourself as worthy enough to honor. And if you don't believe you are, not only do I have episodes on that, look up self-worth at theoverwhelmedbrain.com, but just listen to me say that you are worthy. Yeah, you just have to take my word for it. You are worthy. If you are listening to a show like this, you are worthy. You are worth honoring. You are important. And you have to treat yourself that way. And if you still don't believe me, try honoring yourself. Because as soon as you do, as soon as you start honoring yourself and telling people what's acceptable and what's not, and telling people how you want to be treated, you're going to feel pretty darn good about yourself. It's going to feel great because standing up for yourself shows yourself how worthy you are. You will feel worthy as you do this more and more. So if you have any self-worth or self-esteem issues, that's another thing that honoring your personal boundaries does. Anyway, today's episode is not necessarily about honoring boundaries, but I wanted to talk about that because I brought it up at the beginning, and it is one of the foundational concepts in the way I teach, is that once you're honoring your personal boundaries, it creates a solid foundation that you can work up and build up from there. And once you have all of these pieces in place, then your life gets better. I'm not saying you won't have hardships. I'm not saying that you won't have stress or anxiety or challenges that come up, heartbreak. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that will happen. But with a solid foundation under your feet, you can get right back up and continue the journey. And that's what we need. We need a solid foundation. And this is one of the building blocks for a solid foundation, is honoring your personal boundaries. When we come back, I'm going to read you an email that isn't asking about personal boundaries, but is asking about something that this person's going through. And I think it's nervousness. We're going to talk about that when we get back. I'll read you the email. It's a short one. When we come back, right after this. If you've been listening a while, you've probably heard me talk about BetterHelp. They're an organization that I am proud to talk about. BetterHelp, it's H-E-L-P, is online counseling. And what better time for online counseling than when the majority of people, that I know at least, have to stay home? We're in lockdown. And when you're in lockdown, you kind of have to do everything online. You have to do everything by the phone or at least a few feet away from each other or not in a closed room. We know how it goes. This is why BetterHelp has become a great source for mental health and a great place to find professional counselors that can help you either through their messaging system where you can type it or on the phone or a video call. There's all kinds of options for you, and it's just so convenient, and it allows you, you know, talk about being in a safe space and feeling good in your own skin. It allows you to stay home or do it from the car or do it from a park bench where you can connect in a safe and private online environment. Just one of those things that when you can't see each other in person because of the physical limitations that we have today, BetterHelp comes along and does what they do best. So if there's something that's preventing you from achieving your goals, if there's something that's interfering with your happiness, go to betterhelp.com/brain. And join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. And as a listener of The Overwhelmed Brain, you'll get 10% off the first month by visiting their site, BetterHelp, that's H-E-L-P.com/brain, and signing up for the service. they deal with all kinds of things: depression, stress, relationships, sleeping problems, anger, LGBT matters, grief and self-esteem. Anything that you want to share is confidential, and they can help you through it. And I think it's a great opportunity for you if you're looking for something like this. If you want to get more than what podcasts and self-help material like this can provide to you. So head over to betterhelp.com/brain and get 10% off your first month today. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/brain. Welcome back. Like I said, I'm going to read you an email about somebody who's a little nervous, and I'm going to read you this almost word for word, but I did have to eliminate some things, not only for confidentiality, but it sounded so darn much like an infomercial. I didn't want it to, but it still sounds a little bit. I promise you, I'm just reading the email, but I'm just going to, you'll understand when I read this. It says, "Hey, Paul, I wanted to send you a message to let you know that your podcast, The Safe Empowerment System, and all the other resources that you offer are helping me so much. I'm so incredibly thankful for the work you are doing. As someone with anxiety, I struggle with anything outside my comfort zone. During this pandemic, I have been working from home, and this has given me time to reflect and to realize I gained so much from helping people reach their goals. So I signed up for a life coaching certification course that I begin next week. It is all online through Zoom, and I am so nervous. All this doubt has come up that I won't be good at coaching. I got an email this morning with the information that I need to prepare for the course, and I panicked. I decided to listen to one of the learning pods on the Safe Empowerment System, and it calmed me and gave me many useful tips for my anxiety. I know you are busy and receive a lot of emails, but if you have any helpful advice for me, I would appreciate it. Also, I must mention I've been in therapy on and off for over 20 years now. My therapist is helpful, but the Overwhelmed Brain podcast helps me even more. Thanks for all you do." All right. Thank you so much for sharing this. Again, I read it from the email, except for the parts I deleted because I didn't want it to sound a little too promotional. But I want to thank this person who wrote this. Thank you so much for sharing that and for mentioning the Safe Empowerment System. I didn't think she knew that I was going to read this on the air, actually. The Safe Empowerment System is what I talked about at the very beginning. It's to help anxiety. And I'm glad to hear this because I honestly don't get too much feedback on the Safe Empowerment System. But the good news is when I do, it's always good feedback. I think I'd hear it if it was bad feedback. So I'm glad to hear that when people buy the system, it actually helps them. And so that's good. So anyway, I'm going to get to her point here in a moment, but I wanted to mention that she also said that the show is better than therapy. I really think it depends on what you're working on. You know, if you're working on something deep and painful or trauma, and you know, this show, I do talk about that stuff. Absolutely. But sometimes you do need a professional to help walk you through that stuff and really dive in. And there are a lot of people out there that are very good at what they do to help you through this stuff. And of course, you know, I might hit the target when you listen to the show, or I might not. This is why a lot of people who write to me say, "I'm in therapy and I listen to your show." I'm not saying you have to go to therapy. I'm just saying that this show can be a great addendum to therapy. And then, of course, some people use this show alone. Some people just listen to this. And of course, there's other shows and videos and other self-help material out there as well. But anyway, I wanted to say that too, because she mentioned that she was seeing a therapist. And I think that's great. I think that when you have someone that you can share this stuff with one-on-one, that it can be a huge help. Because you can listen to me, but I don't interact with you. I can't ask you questions. I can't watch your body language. I can't hear the inflection in your voice. So having someone one-on-one in front of you, helping you out, is a great way to do it. That's why I say if you can't get a therapist, find a friend or a family member that you feel safe expressing these things to. But the only caveat with that is because you know the person, it might be harder to share harder things. I remember when I went to therapy, I was in depression and I saw the therapist. And I remember the very first time that I went to therapy and I left her office, it felt like I was closing the door to all my problems behind me as I was leaving her office. It was the coolest feeling. Didn't mean I was out of depression. It didn't mean I was, quote, fixed or suddenly improved, but I felt like I was leaving those problems there. Like I could come in and just express all I wanted. And I have somebody that listens, asks questions, wasn't judgmental. And then when I closed the door behind me, it felt like, whoa, I can just leave those back there. And then I can just readdress them the next time I'm here. And so I went to therapy a few times and I did just that until I felt better. And that was during my stages of depression. It didn't really get me out of depression, but it did help me start understanding myself more and realizing that when I express myself, I am able to release this tension or pent-up negative energy inside of me because I'm actually giving my emotions a voice. I'm allowing the negativity to come up and out of me to be expressed as if they were manifesting outside of me. And that sounds a little weird, but when you have any type of pressure inside of you and you turn that pressure into some sort of verbalization, you manifest it into some sort of external thing, it can feel like a release of that pressure. You can feel that pressure decreasing inside of you. And this is why it's helpful to have someone to express to release the pressure. And that's what I learned from therapy. That was one of the most important things I learned, is that when you decide to express yourself and say the things that hurt you, that you feel traumatized by, that you feel embarrassed about, that you feel guilty about, that you feel ashamed about, that you wouldn't tell anyone else, when it comes out, it feels a lot better. When you really connect with what's going on inside of you and you are able to express it and talk about it, there is a relief. I mean, this can happen. I'm not saying it always happens with everyone, but this is what I learned in therapy, is that when you start expressing things that you haven't told anyone, that you haven't shared, and perhaps they come out in either words or tears, that there can be a relief. There can be an improvement in your life. And sometimes it's all you need. So it can be helpful. That's why I like the idea of expressing to someone that you feel safe with someone who's not going to judge you, someone you trust, that you can just lay it all out there. That's a good feeling. And I get emails like this. This is great. Somebody lays it out there. You know what? I want to coach other people. Let's address this. I want to coach other people, yet what if I'm not good enough? You know, the insecurities come up. What if I'm not the best coach? I'm just so nervous. What do I do about this nervousness? I get anxiety. I get anxiety about everything. So I get it. Absolutely. Let me tell you this. When I started becoming a coach, I was nervous too. In fact, let me share this with you. I still get nervous. I still get a little nervous if and when I coach. I mean, I don't coach as much as I used to, but when I used to prepare for a coaching call, I would still have these little doubts like, you know, am I the right person? Are we going to talk about something that I have no idea how to help them with? The good news is that I'm reading in your email is that because you're nervous, it means you're humble. It means you are willing to accept that you might not be great at coaching. Oh no, what does that mean? Does that mean you shouldn't coach? No, that's not what it means at all. When you are nervous, when you are humble, you're vulnerable, that means you don't know everything. And if you are willing to admit that you don't know everything, guess how you're going to be as a coach? You're going to be phenomenal. You're going to be great, because it's so easy to say, you know, I really don't know how to help you with that, but let's explore this. Or I'll tell you what, let me do some research on that, because this is something I haven't really addressed before. So I want to address this with you next time. You can just be honest. I mean, some coaching schools will teach what they call impeccability. Impeccability is when somebody sees you as impeccable. They see you as, wow, you know a lot. You know a lot more than I do. I look up to you. I admire you. I respect you. And in the beginning of my coaching career, I tried to be impeccable. I tried to be prestige. That doesn't mean I was arrogant or egoistic. It wasn't that at all. It was just that I wanted to appear that I had no problems and I was one of those people that people could look up to. And if he has no problems, then he could probably help me with my problems. This is the very beginning of my coaching career, like way over 10 years ago. And when I showed up that way, I completely screwed myself over because I couldn't be myself. I had to show people that I was this confident, no problem guy, and I could solve anything that they bring. And I couldn't. I couldn't be that way because it wasn't me. So I was pretending to be someone else. I did have success, of course, but I was burning myself out trying to be someone I wasn't. And if you've been listening for a while, you probably noticed that I try to be as transparent and authentic on this show as possible because I never want to burn myself out again. This can happen in any field, any industry, any profession. When you show up as somebody that you're not, you burn yourself out. So the person who wrote this, she's getting nervous. Am I going to be a good coach? You're going to be a great coach because you're nervous. You're going to be a great coach because I can tell you're humble, that you know you're not the greatest. I know I'm not the greatest. I know I need to work on things, but as you work on yourself, and this is the best part, as you work on yourself, as you heal things in yourself, the wisdom comes. The wisdom of understanding what it takes to heal comes automatically. And when you heal from something, going through, like for this person, going through life coaching certification, when you go through that, you yourself go through a transformation. That is part of going to school for certification and things like that, is that you transform yourself. You don't walk in as the coach. You walk in as the student. You walk in as someone who needs help. I shouldn't put it that way because not everyone needs help, but everyone has something to learn as the student. And from what she's saying, if she's experiencing anxiety, if she's experiencing nervousness, you are in the perfect place. This is exactly where you need to be. They don't want you to come in with your ego. They don't want you to come in as perfect. I don't think anyone does. And if they do, then they expect too much. Again, any industry, any profession, any field, if they want you to come in as perfect, they expect too much. If they want you to come in and learn as you go, then you have somebody that understands how it works. And if they understand how it works, then they're going to be easier to work with. They're going to be easier to work for. Because anyone who expects perfection right from the get-go, they're going to have to wait. They're going to be sorely disappointed. And they're probably a micromanager, and they probably don't really care about people or give anyone a chance to learn as they go and try to synchronize themselves with all the variables of the job that they're doing. It just takes a while to get accustomed to what you're doing as a new thing. So in this person's case, she's wanting to become a coach. You're going to be working with probably other coaches, and you're going to be working with volunteer students, and you're going to go through the process of working with these people. So you make all the big mistakes at the beginning. That's what I had to go through. Again, over a decade ago, I had to go through the process of making all my beginner coaching mistakes at the beginning. And you do that because you won't know every single problem that comes up. When you get certified, they give you a lot to work with, a lot of tools, and you're going to apply those tools to yourself because you'll want to. You'll want to figure out if these tools actually work, and the other coaches are going to work with you and apply those same tools. And after that, you can customize the tools and modify and then innovate and make your own tools. And then your toolbox will grow from there. So as time goes on, as you go through this, you're going to develop more tools, more resources, and more ways of doing things. And then pretty soon you'll have your own unique flair. You have your own personal touch of how things work. One of my personal touches, I think, is the ability to be vulnerable with my clients. In fact, I've had clients that I've told them stories, and one of the things I say before the story is between you and me. When I say that, it is a story that I haven't told on the air. It's a story that I haven't told either many or any other clients, because they might be going through something very specific that I know about or I've been through or I've healed from, or whatever. I just know about it for some reason, and I know how to get through it. And I'll tell them, hey, look, between you and me, this is what happened to me. And I'm honest about it. And what that means is I have a level of trust for my clients. And this is going to be helpful for you, the person who wrote, who wants to become a coach. It's going to be helpful for you to have that level of trust in your clients to be yourself. I'm not saying that you have to tell your personal stories. I think it's a good idea because once you heal from a lot in your life, your personal stories become tools. Your traumas, your fears, the things you're still working on become tools. Hey, you know, I have a problem every now and then with an emotional trigger that comes up. This could be one of your tools. And they have the same trigger. You know, I have that same problem. When that trigger comes up, this is what I do. That's humble. That's vulnerable. That is letting go of your ego and letting the client see who you really are so they don't feel like they have to look up at you as the all-knowing guru, the person who can't do anything wrong. Not necessarily because it's the wrong thing. Like, I recommend that you aren't all-knowing and all-seeing and all-understanding and all-wisdom, mainly because it wears you out. You will be so worn down. If you walk in any job or any project and you put out this air of knowing everything and that nothing can faze you, it's going to wear you down so much and you're going to feel all this pressure and you're not going to enjoy what you're doing because you feel like you have to show up as perfect. And it's just going to take its toll on you. And I don't want that to happen. So to the person who wrote this, I just want to say, you know what? Nervousness is good. Welcome it. It shows that you have a lot to learn and you're willing to learn because you are actually taking the steps that you need to take to get through this and give you a lot of skills that are not only going to help your clients, but they're going to help you. Every coaching certification course that I've ever seen includes the healing journey for yourself. Every coaching program that I've looked at has a healing path for yourself. They don't really advertise that, but because you end up working with the teacher and working with the other students, you end up exploring what's going on inside of you to take care of it before you are in front of a real paying client that is looking to you for guidance. And even when you are certified and you're not ready to take paying clients, you can still have volunteer clients, which means you'll have people that you'll be able to help, and it will help build your confidence in yourself so that you can move forward and turn what you're doing into a business. So I know that I'm talking very specifically about coaching. If anyone wants to become a coach, that information might be helpful, but please do apply this to anything that you do in life, is that it's so much easier to be yourself and be accepted as yourself. And not only does that give you a break so you don't have to always have that pressure of being someone you're not, but it allows you to enjoy what you're doing. And you'll find that, I don't know, 98% of the time, the people that you are working with or working for, they're going to appreciate your authenticity much more than any false front that you put up, because you'll just be more pleasant to be around. They'll feel it. They'll see it. They'll be able to talk with you and connect with you that way. So I hope this helps. I know you might be nervous. What do you do about your nervousness? You have the Safe Empowerment System. You can use that and keep listening to that. That'll be helpful. And remember to use the drill down technique. I talk about this in other episodes, but the drill down is just exploring your nervousness. When you get nervous, ask yourself, what am I nervous about? Well, that's obvious. I'm nervous. I'm not going to be a good coach. Why does that make you nervous? Well, if I'm not a good coach, what if I'm not good enough? What if I don't know enough to help someone? Okay, so what will happen if you don't know enough to help someone? What will you do then? Well, either I'll have to make something up or I'll just tell them I don't know. All right, well, if you make something up, that's probably not a good idea. But if you really don't know, how is that a problem? Well, if I don't know, maybe they'll look down on me. Okay. Now we're talking about vulnerability. Here we go. Now we're talking about full transparency. What if they look down on you? How is that a problem? Well, if they look down on me, then that might hurt my coaching career. Okay, let's say it hurts your coaching career. How is that a big deal? What? How is that a big deal? Well, you know, it could be my main source of income. All right, let's just say it's your main source of income and your income decreases. How is that a problem?
you know, I could continue here, but the idea is to drill into what we think are the real issues in our life so that we can understand the origin of these issues and keep asking what I call stupid questions that lead to healing, so that you finally understand where nervousness comes from and where the fears come from. Because if you can drill into these things and get to the absolute bottom, the absolute bottom of the hole of all these layers of the emotional onion that you go through that are pretty much stacked up all your life, the questions that I ask are continuing to get through those layers so that you understand where they come from. Because there's a point where you're going to ask yourself a question that you may not be able to answer at all. And that is typically the point of healing. They call it nonverbal. You get to that point where you have verbal answers, and you finally ask yourself a question so deep that you can't answer it. And at that point, there could be a connection to the deepest fear inside of you. And that deep fear has an opportunity to be released in that moment. There's more to it, of course, and it really does help to have somebody walk you through that, but you can do this yourself. I do this to myself all the time. It's like, okay, why am I feeling judgmental right now? Well, I'm feeling judgmental because he or she's doing this. Yeah, but how is that a problem? Well, it's a problem because of this. And I keep going in there and trying to figure out what's underneath that and what's underneath that. And you can look at it as cause and effect. What caused me to feel that way? And what caused me to feel that way? And you keep answering and drilling in until you get to that origin, until you get to that nonverbal. And now you can't even speak about what it is. It's almost like only a feeling. And often that feeling came from somewhere. And then you can start the second process, which is, when is the first time you felt that? When is the first time you felt that way? You know, when you get to those deeper feelings. And then you might find an origin. And that can be helpful in getting past it. Because once you understand it, once you unwrap the layers surrounding the issue, it has such a loose grip on you that you may not even feel nervous or anxious anymore after that. Because often the grip that you have on this negative feeling inside of you is so tight because of all the resistance that you have about feeling it. People with anxiety don't want to feel anxiety, so they resist it. People that feel nervous don't want to feel nervous. People that don't want to feel sad, they resist it and they keep resisting it. So they actually amplify the negativity, they amplify the negative emotions. And that is what continues to keep that tight grip around those emotions, which is why I like drilling into them and releasing some of the pressure, or all of it. Can happen. I hope it does for you. Thank you so much for writing, and I appreciate this. I hope that you have an amazing time in the class. You probably already had the first class. I think it was this week, because this is a letter from last week. So send me an update. Tell me that everything went great, because it probably did, because everyone else is probably nervous too, or at least most of them were probably nervous too. And this is just how it is. Sometimes new things are nerve-wracking. So you just have to go through the process, and as you do it more and more, just like climbing a ladder multiple times a day will make you not afraid of that height anymore, just like I did a few weeks ago. And that's what happens. You just repeat the process, and pretty soon you feel pretty comfortable doing what you're doing. I appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in, and I will be right back with my thank yous and my final words right after this. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I want to remind you, head over to betterhelp.com/brain. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/brain, and get 10% off your first month today. I also want to take a moment to thank a couple iTunes reviewers. Brad Cole in Australia said, "At the right time, simple psychology made profound and relevant, the helpful type. Thanks, Paul." Well, thank you, Brad. I appreciate that. I am so grateful for your review. Thank you so much.
and Audrey 2020 from the United States. He or she says, I connect with all your topics. It's interesting. Not sure if it's a coincidence, luck, or meant to be, but every time I tune in, I feel that you are talking to me. Yes, I am. Forever grateful that you choose to do what you do for us. You are amazing. You are amazing. Thank you so much for these reviews. And there are others out there that I've read. I just don't have time to read them on the air, but I wanted to let you know that I do read these as they come in, and I appreciate all of them, even the negative ones, because there's always something new to learn about myself when they happen, or something new to learn about somebody else that just doesn't like me. So that happens too, and luckily I don't really see those too much, and I'm very grateful for that. So those of you who don't write negative reviews for the show, I'm grateful for you too. I appreciate all of you. Thank you for those reviews. And I also want to thank the patrons of the week. The patron program is where you can show your financial support for the show. And of course, I give back in there. You can get episodes and worksheets and workbooks and video archive and all kinds of educational stuff in there. In case you're interested, you can go to patron.theoverwhelmedbrain.com. If you find value in the show like these patrons did, you can give back. Like Loretta has been in the program for 3 months. Thank you, Loretta. Callie, I think, is in the program for 6 months. Andrea, 6 months. Victoria, thank you, Callie, Andrea, and Victoria, all in that 6 to 8 month range. And then we have Christy, who's been over a year. Thank you, Christy. And then we have Crystal. Crystal, you've been a patron for about a year and a half now. Good to have you here. Thank you. I am grateful for you. Julia, 21 months. Henry, 24 months. And Anna, 30 months. Wow. All three of you, Julia, Henry, and Anna, I appreciate all of you. Thank you for being in the program for so long. Your financial support is going toward all of the costs associated with keeping this show on the air, and I appreciate you. Again, if you find value in the show and you want to give back, head over to patron.theoverwhelmedbrain.com. And I want to mention the other podcast I do. It's called Love and Abuse. If you are in a difficult relationship or you have a difficult relationship with someone in your life, whether it's friend, family, or romantic, the Love and Abuse podcast helps you understand toxic communication and poisonous behavior and how to work with it, how to deal with it, and how to talk to these people that might be toxic in your life. Can be very helpful if you're dealing with any type of challenging people or emotionally abusive people. Head over to loveandabuse.com if you're interested in that. And finally, I'd like to thank Kevin McLeod of incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. And I started the show talking about personal boundaries, and I'm going to share something with you that somebody, two people that I know that are close to me, they called me something that I didn't think I was. And what that is stubborn. They called me stubborn. And I couldn't figure out what they meant because I don't see myself as a stubborn person. Although I think they say Taurians are stubborn. I'm not sure if that's a universal thing, but I couldn't understand. I asked, what, you think I'm stubborn? How am I stubborn? And what I figured out is that I honor my boundaries to the point where I know what I want. And when there's something that I know I won't accept, I will be stubborn in that case. And what that means, if somebody says, hey, I want to paint your house pink, and I say no, and they say, oh, come on, you know, just let's try it and see what it looks like, I'm going to say, no, that's not going to happen. You're not going to paint my house pink. I mean, this is probably not the best example, but this is a good example of when somebody might call me stubborn. Like, why don't you want to do that? Why don't you want to try this? Why don't you want to, you know, take a chance or see what it looks like or whatever? They might call me stubborn. And I've always thought of stubbornness as a negative quality. So to be called stubborn makes me think, what? I'm open-minded. I'm willing to try new things. I love learning about stuff. And I don't think I'm stubborn at all. Yet, I have a feeling they're talking about there are certain things that I won't settle for. There are certain things that I won't allow someone to do against me or talk me into. I really don't succumb to peer pressure. So I think in a sense, I might be stubborn. I might admit that I'm stubborn. In that sense, when it comes to personal boundaries, I don't think it's a problem to be stubborn. There's a difference between being closed-minded and not considering anything, and being open-minded and considering the options. The point where people might perceive you as stubborn is when you've made a choice. And sometimes I just make a choice. No, that's not going to happen. Or yes, that's what we're going to do no matter what. I mean, I don't make a choice for others. I make a choice for myself. Like if people I love all want to go skydiving, I'm going to be stubborn and say, no, there's really no reason for me to go skydiving. I don't have anything against it, but I'm not going to go. And they might think, oh, come on, you know, give it a shot. Let's all do this. And I'll say, no, I'm not going to do it. That doesn't mean I'm being a jerk. That doesn't mean I'm a party pooper. It just means I'm comfortable with my decision. I think that we look at the term stubborn, or at least I do, and I think there's a negative connotation to it. Yet, because I've been called it and I had to explore that in myself because I didn't like being called that, I learned that, yes, there are times when I will stand by my word. I will honor myself. I will stand up for myself. I will make a decision, and when I believe that it's the right decision because I have considered it, and I've considered all the options, and I've evaluated it against my values, and I want to make sure that I'm in alignment with my own decisions, there's going to be a point where I will draw the line. And when you draw the line, somebody might see you as stubborn. Somebody might call you something worse. And if you're offended by what they said, you can take a moment to make sure that your decision is sound and based on an evaluation of all the data. And if it is, and you feel comfortable inside yourself making that decision, then stick with it. Because not everyone's going to agree with you. Not everyone's going to have the same perspectives as you. Not everyone's going to have the same beliefs as you. And some people might be offended that you aren't agreeing with them or you aren't doing what they want you to do. And you might have to live with that term stubborn and then wear it as a badge proudly. So when these two people I loved, which is actually my girlfriend and her son, they both called me stubborn, I had to think about it and try not to be offended and realize that the way I'm stubborn actually is a good quality in me and I like it. So there might be qualities about you that people point out that sound offensive, that sound like maybe you could be a better person or something. But really, if you look at those qualities, are they actually emphasizing something that you're proud of in yourself? I'm proud of my ability to stand up for myself and honor myself and say yes when I mean yes and say no when I mean no and do things that I feel comfortable doing and not do things that I don't. I'm very proud of that, and I wear that badge. I just never called it stubbornness. But if somebody has a name for you, maybe explore that and find out there's something good about that. You know, I've heard some women say, I don't mind being called a B-I-T-C, you know what, because even though that's not the term I use for myself, if they think I am that, then it's emphasizing a quality in myself that I like. And because they don't want to accept that quality in me, that's not my issue. It's not my fault, not my issue, not my worry. So if they have this perception about me, that's their perception and not who I truly am. Because I don't consider myself that. I consider myself a strong, independent person. And other people that want me to do what they want me to do, they want some level of control over me or something, or they want me to show up in a way that makes me uncomfortable or puts me in a position that I don't appreciate with them, then I'm going to honor myself. And they may call me a name for honoring myself. And I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. Because if you love me, if you respect me, if you care about me, if you have a heart, then I'm going to treat you wonderfully. I'm going to treat you just like you treat me. But if you show up in the opposite way, and you're not respectful toward me, and you're trying to control me, or you're trying to hurt me, or trying to make me do things that I don't want to do, then yeah, I might show up as something that you don't like. And that's not my problem. I'm sorry. Be nice to me. Be nice to me and I'll be nice to you. And most people get that. I think most people do get that. And then the people that don't, they might have some words. And they'll just have to figure that out on their own. And if they can't, well, like I say at the end of every show, I hope they keep an open mind. Because keeping an open mind helps you step into your power. And this helps you be firm in your decisions and actions so that you can create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful beyond measure. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, you are amazing.